T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I'm the reason why rap became great in the Western Mass suburbs.
Love the show. Hate Mark James, but you're an awesome radio host.
This is WEEI.
And I think one man,
exactly.
The next star here at WEEI, that of course is Mark with a C, James.
And you can't spell Marconi without the letters M-A-R-C.
And Andy Hart.
In general, it's a good rule. If you're going to be a jackass, be right.
Be right.
Hart, outside of you, is so vanilla.
Ow.
But when you guys are together, it really is good.
It is so good, dude.
Can I ask you a very stupid, simple question?
Well, I expect that coming from you.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yep.
You know what the good thing is when I come to this show? I'm the third biggest a-hole.
Yes, sir.
It's Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart. That's just the sad reality. Not everybody's perfect like us.
Mac and Hat, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
He is a strong guy, and he's a good guy, too.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people. That was never my intention.
Get that son of a bitch off the field.
I don't know what Drew's going to do, but he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same.
What are we doing?
The negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. He made a mistake.
Thank you.
And I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice. That's going to have to be action.
The guy's a stone cold loser.
All right, happy Saturday. Your fastest 4 hours in radio. Mark and Hart. Mark with a C, James, Andy Hart. You know the deal. Doing this for well over a year now. After last week, which... I remember last week coming to the show where I could not stop watching Fox News Channel or CNN. And that was the fallout of George Floyd, which continued obviously into this week. Did you ever think, Hart, that of all people, Drew Brees would be at the epicenter of controversy after last week?
No. I mean, certainly you look at, he is one of the mostly clean-cut poster boys for the National Football League. Now, I will say mostly because he has some extreme religious beliefs that sort of delve into homophobic questions and things of that nature. He has stepped in it before a little bit, and one could argue whether he did or didn't even step in it this time, but it was certainly perceived that he stepped into it. I love what Charles Barkley said, because I do think some of the reactions to Drew Brees' comments, A, were extreme, over the top, and B, almost seemed like the people reacting didn't listen to the interview. Because a lot of people, their immediate reaction was, oh, this is your reaction to George Floyd? You bring up the flag and the protesting? No, that's not it at all. He was asked a specific question that, in light of what's going on, what could he envision in terms of protests and kneeling and things that could happen? And people just presumed that he brought it up on his own. He answered a question that was posed to him, very specific. Secondly, a lot of people seem to take the fact that he brought up his grandfather's fighting for the country as some form of insinuation that no one else's grandfathers fought for the country. No black people had grandfathers that fought for the country. I didn't hear him say that either. He focused, and I think this whole issue on a lot of levels, we've talked about this a little bit, is how you personalize it, what your experiences are. For example, a week ago, I asked you Is there more racists in this country or non-racists? I'd like to believe non-racist. You brought up your history living in some of the areas of the South saying there's more racists.
Yeah.
You personalized
my
it,
answer's
right?
not changed. No.
If you're a cop right now, or the family of a cop, you personalize it. You feel like you're under attack, right?
Sure.
That your husband, your brother, your son is a good cop, but he's being lumped in with the bad cops, so you sort of put back to back and fight off the world, right? Because there's a sort of a tension in that area that your cop's good, others are bad, whatever. So the way you personalize this is really affecting how you view it right now, right? And that's where we're going from here. I want to throw a name out at you, though, because we have Drew Brees, epicenter of the whole thing. Donald Trump is going to certainly make himself in the middle of it again. Roger Goodell in the middle of it again. All makes sense. Maybe Colin Kaepernick comes back to the center of this again as we go down this road. But I'm going to throw a name at you that I'm guessing you're not familiar with. Brendan Minter. Ever heard it?
No.
Who do you think he is? Just throw an idea out there. Who could that possibly be? I'll tell you, I'll read you the very first line on his Twitter bio. Creative producer at NFL. He's a young guy. I don't know if this matters or not, but it seems like in this world we need to make this matter. He's white. He's a young white guy who works for the NFL in their social media content production department. You know what he also was, apparently? The guy who spearheaded Michael Thomas and all the players for the Black Lives Matter video. Yes, he works for the NFL. And he sent a direct message to Michael Thomas after Michael Thomas reacted to Drew Brees' comments, after the NFL put out a release this week that, you read a story on The Athletic, most people within the NFL hated the NFL's initial release this week in light of the George Floyd death. It bothers me when people don't say murder.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who decided, I know I work for the NFL, I might lose my job over this, but I have talents. And there's an opportunity here for something. He reached out to Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas said, yep, I'm in. Michael Thomas, he and others wrote the script that the players read.
Saquon Barkley,
all
OBJ.
Of them. Michael Thomas used his connections to bring in other players. Had those players record it. This guy, Brendan Minter, who works for, again, the NFL league offices, did the editing, did the bringing it up, basically produced it to what you saw, which to me was the best thing we've seen to date in this whole social justice reform era and everything. Because it was very simple, it was very emotional, it was very pointed, and most importantly to me, it had specific requests, correct?
Yes.
When you saw that, especially if your name is Roger Goodell or one of the 32 owners of the National Football League, there was a challenge, correct? There was a challenge to
no
be
question.
Answered. Now, the NFL has since answered it, but I have to tell you, this Brendan Minter kid, he put his life, his career, his future on the line, and now he's fine. The NFL applauds him. Brian McCarthy, the league spokesman, has already issued a statement that they supported what he did after they found out about it. But that's a guy that laid it on the line. Because guess what? Michael Thomas can criticize Drew Brees. Michael Thomas is set for life. If he never plays another down in the National Football League, he's got plenty of money. He's secure in who he is. This kid, Brendan Minter, who apparently is a Missouri alum, and also a breakfast food enthusiast, according to his Twitter bio, he put his young career on the line
That's
for this
incredible.
And
wow.
produced, in my opinion, again, the best thing that I've seen in the last couple of weeks that's come out of this
far. So if you missed the players' video, OBJ, Saquon Barkley, here it is.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
All right, so
tremendous. And I want to say Brendon Minter, B-R-Y-N-D-O-N Minter, works for the National Football League. You know, he knew he, quote, was going rogue and was putting his career on the line. And then he caught up with Mike Thomas. They connected via direct message, and it grew from there. Mike Thomas recruited, including our own Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore, who was in there.
Yep.
And the league found out about it, and the league is okay. He's not going to lose his job. He had a couple other league workers that aren't named in this athletic story that helped him out with this. But I think that's a really, really cool thing. He didn't have to do that. He was frustrated. He didn't like the league's response initially. Because if you remember, the league's release was very vague. It didn't really mention racism. It didn't really mention anything. It was very vague and just it felt fake, phony. It felt, you know, corporate. And apparently there were three days of meetings between content producers, social media people at the league. And when he left that frustrated, that led to the Black Lives Matter video that he put together with Mike Thomas that I think is tremendous.
All right, let's, Eamon, go back to the original Drew Brees video of him and the interview he was doing with Fox Business Channel, and here's what Drew Brees had to say.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better and that we are all part of the solution.
Now, initially, when you hear that, you probably might not react the way that the players did, specifically his teammates, Michael Thomas, Malcolm Jenkins. Actually, before we go to Barkley, let's get the Malcolm Jenkins thing, because this we got to get this all in. This is a chronological thing. We're not going to pull the Last Dance thing. We go from 1991 to 98, to 93, to 96. No, we're going to do this in chronological order. Malcolm Jenkins.
Our communities are under siege, and we need help. And what you're telling us is, don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those, and push them throughout the world, the airways, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the f*** up.
Okay, so there's that. Then Drew Brees released sort of a faceless statement, which went over about as well as a fart in church on a Sunday morning. And That certainly people did not like that at all. That looked like he was hiding. It looked like he was taking the cheap way out. So then we had the mea culpa. Eamon, Drew Brees' apology, where he says, you know, that he basically understands. But one guy you don't particularly like, I'll bring up, I thought really was the one who had something, we'll get to that. Here's Drew Brees, who decided to release a video after the faceless statement did not go over.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice. That's going to have to be.
So, Booger McFarlane, after this, I actually thought he sort of nailed it a couple days ago. He said, on Drew Brees' apology, I'm sorry for the way that America's crucifying me. I'm not sorry for what I said. Got it.
I was like, whoa.
Booger, he can be critical. That one was just like, holy crap. I too felt that when you do first of all, who in the blue hell is advising Drew Brees? Number one, you do the interview, then you put out the faceless press release, which was almost as bad as like how the interview was perceived. Who's advising him? Who are the Saints Media Relations Department, his agent? Who's advising this guy? Like, oh, put out a faceless press release. And then he got, so then he had to do the apology for the apology.
In which he told you, look in my eyes. I want you to see my eyes while I say this. Because he realized that the first sounded faceless. He actually did a quick one before even the release. He talked to Mike Triplett, who's the Saints writer for ESPN.com, maybe former like Times-Picayune writer.
Well, he's not for The Athletic because they laid off about 8% of their... Yeah, so yeah.
So he did that initially. I think that was the day of. Then the next day of the release, then the video to follow. He was scrambling. I'm sure they were all involved. I'm sure the Saints were involved, his agent. They probably brought in damage control specialists that hadn't even worked with him before with a lot of different opinions. But see, I have a lot of trouble dealing with this. Like, I think the first sentence is what offended everybody. He said, I'll never agree with someone disrespecting, right? That's where he started.
Well, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
So that, to me, is what offended everybody.
That
because
was
after
it.
That, he
that
says,
was the one.
What it, because then he personalizes it. He says, to me, what I do during the anthem is I think of my grandparents, I get emotional, I think of people. And I feel like that, if he had just edited out that first sentence, he may have been criticized, but it wouldn't have struck people so emotionally it did Malcolm Jenkins. But I'm going to be critical of Malcolm Jenkins here even. Shut the F up. I thought we were having a conversation. I thought that this was like discourse. So now he's telling Drew to shut the F up, like his opinion doesn't matter. And this is a guy that he admitted is a friend.
Was he talked
friend.
In the past tense.
But now they've backtracked, and I don't know where that went.
Of course they did.
There's a lot of layers to this.
Yeah.
I can't believe Shaq was allowed to be in on the team meeting on Zoom the other night. How dumb is that? We're going to keep this in-house, except Shaq, a basketball player, one of the biggest celebrities in the world, who's also working still in the media and doing a live show on TNT that night, is allowed to be part of it? Are you keeping it in-house or are you not keeping it in-house? That made no sense to me.
Huh.
But Drew Brees, like, so you're just going to end your relationship with Drew Brees because he said something insensitive that you didn't like, that you didn't care for. To me, that's counter to the whole idea, right? Like, the shut the F up. Don't talk anymore. You can't talk on this subject. He has said he wants to support you. Now, you can just tell me you think Drew Brees is the scum of the earth. He's a liar, an opportunist, phony, fraud. If you believe that, that's one thing. But do a lot of people really believe that?
No. But the one thing, and I went back and forth the other night with a guy from Maine who brought up Drew Brees' track record, which is impeccable, which is a guy who's raised, you know, $35 million.
Well, it's not impeccable again.
Well, no.
There are homophobic issues in his history.
Okay, but I mean, raising money for people in New Orleans post-Hurricane Katrina,
yes.
Him and his wife pledging millions of dollars and doing things like that. But I mean, impeccable when it comes to race.
Okay,
so with race, it's been impeccable. You've got to understand, and one of the things I will give credit to today, which I heard him say 3 or 4 years ago on the ill-fated The Six, which was with Jemele Hill and Michael Smith. Michael Smith, formerly here of the Boston Globe, said this 3 or 4 years ago, when black people say Black Lives Matter and white people's reply to that is All Lives Matter, that is racist. Michael Smith said this 3 or 4 years ago. And I first didn't understand. I'm like, really? Like what? And now I get what that means. You are minimalizing, and you are basically taking all the oppression and everything that black people have been enduring for over 400 years, and you're basically saying, you know, like, yeah, all lives matter. And now I understand. Michael Smith did this 3 or 4 years ago. I have to give him all the credit in the world. And I think when Drew Brees came out and said what he said about the flag, people took it as if he was saying all lives matter, which a former announcer for the Sacramento Kings now, Grant Napier, who is no longer a play-by-play announcer for 33 years with the right. Sacramento Kings, came out and said that that is disrespectful, which I understand it. At first I didn't. Now I get that. And people went after Drew Brees. And I think what really drew the ire was not just the reactions by LeBron James and other athletes, but the reactions by his own teammates, oh, yeah. Michael Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins, when they came out, he don't know no better, you know, and all this stuff. Like, that's when it was like, whoa, like, holy crap.
Because they know it.
But
like, I shouldn't judge Drew Brees from afar.
I get this, but Drew Brees, and you mentioned the homophobic stuff in his background and all that. Drew Brees grew up in Austin, Texas, which is the home of the University of Texas. He wasn't highly recruited by anybody. I have a friend who's a very prominent alum of the University of Texas who lives in Austin and is part of the Texas Exus, which is the huge alumni base that they have there. And Drew Brees, like, nobody wanted him. A&M, Houston, no, like, nobody, TCU, no, Baylor, nobody. Like, his biggest offer he got was Purdue, which is why he ended up there. He comes from the God, flag, family, football, Friday Night Lights
right.
part of Texas. That's what he comes from. And I don't know if Drew Brees has a lot of close black friends in his life. I don't know. But I think, you know, like the amazing thing about it was Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Now, Shannon Sharp said he should retire.
Ridiculous.
Which was odd. But Skip Bayless did say something quite, I thought, eye-opening. He said Drew Brees has a blind racial spot. And I think that's a fair criticism. I think he's like, and Skip basically said what I said, and I said, like, well, I said before, he said, I said, Friday Night Lights, God, family, you know, football, and you know, and on the God, family, flag, football, or God, flag, family, football, whatever, and all that. And Skip Bayless said, he goes, he has a blind racial spot. And I do believe that is fair. Should he have been crucified the way he was? You know what? At the end of the day, if his teammates and people like LeBron James felt that way, who am I to tell an African-American athlete or anybody, especially his own teammates, to tell how they feel? Now, they felt strong because here was the one. What's the one word about what Drew Brees said that killed him this week? Timing. Timing. And like, it was just the timing. You just, it's the wrong place to get up there and salute the flag. Because I got news for you, Drew. African-American professional athletes, African-American college athletes, African-American high school athletes, Pop Warner, Pee Wee, or just black people as a whole in the United States of America, don't probably get all warm and fuzzy when they look at the United States, the American flag, as you do. They don't. Because what it might, they look at it differently because of what the stuff that they've gone through. And obviously we've seen over the course of the last 15 years with unarmed black people being killed at the hands of law enforcement. So all that being said, and here's another thing I want to say as well, even though, yes, like people, when they look at the flag, they think the United States military, and a guy that I had on who's much smarter than we are, who's a professor at Georgetown, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. And he said the United States military does not own the flag. They do not monopolize the flag. And I get, coming from a black person's perspective, what he meant by that. Now, obviously, yes, they defended our liberties and freedoms. No one's going to deny that. They do not own the flag, period. So that's where I agree with Dr. Michael Eric Dyson on that. Although, yes, you certainly get more patriotic and all that. Now, we haven't even got to this part. We'll get to this. Oh, Because we're about to hit trending. The president of the United States chimed in yesterday. And you knew this was coming. You knew it was coming, right?
Sure. And I actually think, though, the response to the president is the most interesting part.
Absolutely. And we'll get to all that. So this is a whole different, you know, animal. Oh, by the way, the number 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. Mark and Hart with you. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not cool enough to have both in the same. I was unable to get that for Instagram. But my Instagram is Mark James Talk. I've been pushing the hell out of it. M-A-R-C James Talk. I've only posted three times. And I went from 75 followers to like over 300 and something followers. And so I appreciate that. And of course, Twitter, Mark James, Andy Hart, both of them, Jumbo Hart. Do you still have the egg
with
on
the blue check mark?
Do you still have the jumbo heart on the Instagram?
Yeah, I should probably.
Yeah you might want to
do something about that at some point.
Yeah, you may want to allow Instagram to access your photos. It's okay.
I don't know.
It's
I don't
okay.
Trust them.
It's okay, right, Eamon?
Eamon, I don't trust them.
I think it's going to be all right.
This technology, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
It's okay.
There are other things you can do to minimize your being tracked if you really want.
Yeah, they're not. Hey, you got to get one of our sponsors, DuckDuckGo.
Bang.
DuckDuckGo.
I'm intrigued by that.
You know what I mean? No, listen, I saw a billboard yesterday, like on the highway. Like, DuckDuckGo. Like, they stop trackers. And I like that too. I mean, isn't that weird when you search for something online and the next time you queue up an article from, I don't know, the New York Post, ESPN.com, Boston Globe, Herald, that what you just looked for 4 days ago is right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, just right
they
there.
They know everything. They see everything.
Hey, you sure you don't want to buy those Jordans that are over $1,000? Here they are. Stadium goods right here. So
you got to go dark or whatever. What's the private scrolling mode or whatever?
Oh,
on your
phone,
incognito mode?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you would know incognito mode.
That was creepy. all right, let's get to your phone calls coming up next. 617-779-7937. What did you think about Drew Brees' comments? And moreover, the reaction to those comments. We'll get to the president of the United States, Donald Trump, because he, of course, the tweeter-in-chief, came out and you knew he was not going to stay silent on this one. He was not going to go Simon Garfunkel, Sound of Silence. And then President Trump, after that, Drew Brees responded with an Instagram post. And then let's just say then he got the that's my quarterback tweet from Michael Thomas, his receiver. So Drew Brees hopefully has atoned for you never would have thought of all people this week, Drew Brees would have stepped in it. And this would never. So, Eamon, do we have my memo, though? Can we get to that? Because I released a memo on Wednesday night on my show.
Memo to all white people. Shut the f*** up and just listen.
Take this one part, the last two words.
So can I take the rest of the show off?
Peace out. No. Just listen. Just listen. Everybody listen. You know, everybody likes to have a conversation. And
well, we can't have a conversation if we're just listening.
Well, no, but I'm saying just listen to what, you know, everyone's saying.
Sure.
And then
that's what this show is for.
That's what we're
going to do. We take all callers, all comers, male, female, black, white, Asian. If you want to call and you want to vent, we'll listen. We may rein you in if you get a little off the tracks, but that's what this show is for. Talk, talk, talk. Listen, listen, listen.
And somebody texts into the text line, Austin is actually a very liberal town, actually. You are correct. You are correct. I don't know how liberal it was when Drew Brees was growing up there in the 90s. I don't know. I think things have changed over the course of the last 20 plus years. You know,
see, things have changed.
Things have changed.
Mr. Cynic, you think everything's the same as it was 30 years
now,
ago.
I don't know if Austin is just some...
You doing trending?
It's just some epitome of racial equality, though.
I didn't say that.
No, I don't
I didn't
know about
say
that.
Life is good. Everything right. is perfect. I said there has been some incremental positive change.
But it is a very liberal town. 617-779-7937 is the number. Now time for trending.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, and the NFL put out a video last night condemning racism and admitting, quote, we were wrong not to listen to players earlier about this issue. Goodell also encouraged all players to peacefully protest if they felt the need. Boy, wow. Has the NFL come around on this one, huh?
Kind of had to.
Wow.
Their business model was potentially falling apart around them.
Ah, yeah. It's amazing how that thing changed.
As Commissioner Goodell said, we are nothing without our black football players, right? That was business and that was right. social. There was truth to that on a lot of levels.
With all due respect to Bill Belichick and Andy Reid and Pete Carroll, people aren't showing up to watch them on Sundays.
Nope.
They're not.
Nope.
And the majority of players in the NFL, I think over 78% are African-American. So they're,
that's why, to me, there was one key face in the video, and it wasn't Mike Thomas, who started it and sort of spearheaded it with Brendan
Minter.
It was Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the superstar of all superstars in your league, who most people expect will be the face of your league for somewhere in the range of the next 12 to 15 years, competing for Super Bowls and making ridiculous plays. The fact that Patrick Mahomes was in that video said it all, that the tide has turned. You know, we talk about baseball players running baseball. The National Football League players, the black players, have spoken, and they've taken control of something they really should control. Because as Commissioner Goodell said in the video, that's the heart of their sport.
Well, why didn't he feel that way a couple of years ago? You know?
He wasn't pushed far enough.
So it took George Floyd's death and everything that happened there afterwards?
Sort of the snowballing of everything afterwards, yes.
Jordan Brand, Michael Jordan, and the Jordan Brand yesterday pledged $100 million over 10 years to efforts that combat racism. Now, you can say what you want about Michael, and he's always selected commerce over conscience, but I don't know, man. You put your money where your mouth is. That's pretty good on that. The NBA Players Association approved the league's 22-team return-to-play plan by a vote of 29-1. The Trailblazers were the only team to vote against the proposal, which is weird because they're less than four games out of the final playoff spot. Players will report to ESPN Wild World of Sports in Orlando July 31st. Kevin Durant officially ruled out a return this year, saying, quote, "My season is over. I don't plan on playing at all." And Governor Charlie Baker will announce a timeline for phase two of the economic reopening plan at 1 p.m. today, which is when we're going off the air.
Of course he had to schedule it for 1 p.m. I was praying it was going to be at noon.
Right. I mean, can we just, like, you know, in Connecticut, I was in Connecticut yesterday. Do you know in Connecticut, you know, things are open? Like, they're, like, right. Malls are, like, you know, stores. It's just, they're kind of, now things are different, but they're open. And the stores that aren't open.
And we're ready.
The stores are not open because they don't feel as though they're ready at this point, but it's not because the governor of Connecticut hasn't allowed them to.
The new normal.
The new normal starts, well, Monday, but hopefully. I feel like, you know when you play a video game, a racing video game, and it usually has the lights and it's like beep, 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 and you can go?
Yeah.
That's where we are right now. I'm waiting for that last extended beep so I can hit the gas and actually live life.
I don't think you're going to be able to hit the gas. I think you're going to go over speed bump.
I'm hitting the damn
gas. No, you're going to go over speed bump first since
phase two. Baseball practice in like a week. I want to get back.
Yeah.
New Jersey yesterday extending their medical whatever emergency they call it for another 30 days.
Screw New Jersey.
All right, speaking of Major League Baseball, MLB and the MLBPA still squabbling over games and pay. According to Jeff Passan this morning, the owners focused on a 48-game season with full prorated salaries while players are pushing for an 82-game season. Well, the players are pushing for a 114-game season a week ago.
They were.
I have to tell you, I'm with the players on the 82 games. If you're going to have a season under 50 games, I don't want it.
Well, that'd be good for the hometown team.
No, I know, but like,
if you're a crappy team, but you only play 40 or 50 games, if you get hot for like a week and a half, you got a shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I said this yesterday. Does anybody really care about the Red Sox, though? We had all gone into this season thinking, you traded your best player.
Well, no, this
your ace
is
hurt.
A good year to not have baseball for the
Perfect.
Red Sox. It's a good.
They reset right. their books. You don't have a crappy season to go through. Next year, ready to go.
Yep. That's trending. Back with Mark and Hart and your calls.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Drew's original statement, I thought, was insensitive. It was very insensitive, especially during this time. But I thought the negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. I've never heard a bad word about Drew Brees in my life. He made a mistake. But we've gotten to the point in society where everybody on social media thinks they are God, judge, and jury. Drew Brees made a mistake.
Marking hard. 617-779-7937. Jesse Finn. Jesse Finn 8. Thank you for following me on Instagram, bro. I give you a shout out, man. Appreciate it. Keep the movement going. Let's do it. Shameless.
Yes, you are.
Shameful
and shameless.
Yes. I've only posted three times, haven't posted in 3 years, and I'm getting, you know, followers just by making fun of this account. It's like you go there and you just see three things, and below that, it's like nothing. It's like an abyss of nothing. Let's go to the phones and speak to Lloyd, who's going to lead us off today in Worcester. My thing is stuck here, Eamon. So go ahead and pull Lloyd up. Appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Mark and Hart. You know, I used to live in Austin when I was a much younger man. I lived there for about 3 years, and it is indeed a very liberal city. I consider it the liberal bastion of Texas. But as far as Drew Brees goes, I don't know. You know, I mean, the one man said that he had a blind eye to a racist blind eye. Maybe I got a blind eye too. Because I just don't get it. I don't understand when the day came in this country that standing for the flag for the national anthem became controversial or became racist. I just don't. I really, really, this whole thing, I'm not getting it.
Well, it's taking the message and saying, okay, they're being disrespectful to soldiers, they're being disrespectful to the flag. As Mark said earlier, the military doesn't control or own the rights to the flag. There's a bigger country beneath the flag than just the military. And I said it earlier, the first sentence, I think, is what everybody bristled at. He'll never agree with someone disrespecting the flag.
And I feel the same way. Is that so wrong?
Well, is it being disrespectful? That's the question, right?
Absolutely, it's disrespectful.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Lloyd, can I just ask you, are you a white man?
Absolutely.
Okay, then you don't look at things through the prism. You won't look through the prism of your eyes through the eye. You have to look at what it means to other people. And just because you look at it that way doesn't mean other people perceive it that way either.
I can understand that. But okay. I'd like to say, too, before you let me go, as far as police brutality goes, listen, I haven't lived a good life. I've been to jail a lot of times because I had a lot of problems. But every time that I went to jail and every time I got abused by the police, I had it coming because I did something. Now, I understand the world's not fair, but, you know, every time something happened to me that wasn't pleasant, it was because I was doing the wrong thing.
Well, but what's the wrong thing? I mean, that was the argument we had last week. George Floyd, if he had never passed a supposedly counterfeit $20 bill, the rest wouldn't have happened, right? Well, yeah, if he hadn't got up in the morning either, mm-hmm. It wouldn't have happened. But just because you had certain experiences, Lloyd, as a white man doing questionable things or illegal things, that's why I keep saying everyone personalizes this.
That's right.
They look at it through their own prism, their own world, their own life. And I think to some degree, if everybody could tear that down, then we'd really start moving forward, right? So that's why I have the
dialogue,
problem with Malcolm Jenkins saying, Drew, shut the F up. No. You disagreed with what he said. You corrected him.
But I believe
And guess what?
Right.
Now Drew Brees has looked at himself differently. If Drew Brees had never said anything, Malcolm Jenkins and others would not have reacted. Drew Brees would not have been forced to look at things differently. Isn't that the conversation? Isn't this the perfect example, the case study of a guy spoke, you didn't care for what he said, you thought it was wrong, he reassessed it. Now, there's questions as, do you believe Drew Brees really thinks what he said was inappropriate, or he got caught and is protecting his image and that whole thing?
What Booger McFarland said, I thought.
But who's Booger to judge?
Well,
bleep you, Booger.
No, Booger McFarland tweeted out, I'm sorry for the way that America's crucifying me. I'm not sorry for what I said. Got it.
So how do you know that? How does Booger know that?
Well, that's
because it seems like Michael Thomas has interpreted it differently, correct?
Well, he's his teammate.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can
yeah.
look at that two ways. That phrase right. right there, he's his teammate. Okay, so he's more prone to give him the benefit of the doubt because he knows this year they're going to hook up on about 130 passes and they want to win, right? Or
probably 20 touchdowns.
He's his teammate. He knows him. And he says, you know what? For how long has Michael Thomas been there? 5 years?
Yeah.
For 5 years, I've really respected and enjoyed my relationship with Drew Brees. He said something I didn't agree with. I reacted harshly. And now maybe we move forward because I think Drew Brees is a decent guy. And I'm not saying Drew Brees deserves carte blanche benefit of the doubt. He doesn't. Part of the problem with this whole issue and this history is giving people the benefit of the doubt just because, oh, he's a good guy. He missed. No, question what he said. Maybe try to impose your view upon him and explain to him why he was wrong. Not everybody deserves the benefit of the doubt. But when he speaks and then he changes the way he feels, expresses it differently, isn't that a positive? Hasn't this played out as a positive?
I think no. Well, let me get to this part because we haven't got to this yet. Donald Trump, the president of the United States, tweeted out yesterday, quote, I'm a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's truly one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent American flag. Old Glory, in capital letters, is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. Then he went on to say, we should be standing up straight and tall, ideally with a salute or hand on heart. There are other things you can protest, but not our great American flag. And then he put dash in all capital letters, no kneeling, exclamation point. So you knew that it was coming. You knew that he, the tweeter in chief, was not going to stay silent on this one and plead the Fifth Amendment. And there's no way. So then, like, and before you get, here's the thing. There's an election coming up in November. He's playing to his base.
Yes.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's playing to his base. It's how he got elected. Whether we agree or disagree, he's playing to his base. We're like, I'll deal with the fallout of that later. I'm not really worried about it. I lived enough time down south that I can, you know, I can imitate them. Believe me, they imitated me, and some of the things they said about me are certainly not suitable for air. So there's that. Now, Drew Brees released a statement, I believe, on Instagram.
Yes.
And said, through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It has never been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities. We did this back in 2017, and regretfully, I brought it back with my comments this week. We must stop talking about the flag and shift our attention to the real issues of systemic racial injustice, economic oppression, police brutality, and judicial and prison reform. We are at a critical juncture in our nation's history. If not now, then when? We, as a white community, need to listen and learn from the pain and suffering of our black communities. We must acknowledge the problems, identify the solutions, and then put this into action. The black community cannot do it alone. This will require all of us. Now, I love this, and that's when Michael Thomas tweeted out, that's my quarterback, and he gave him the fist on Twitter, like, yep, I got your back. I don't know if he wrote all this by himself.
I don't know whether he did or he didn't, but he put his name to it.
He put his name
to it. He put his verified checkmark Instagram. And by the way, you skipped right over to @RealDonaldTrump. This wasn't general statement.
Oh, no.
This was at you,
yeah.
Donald Trump. Yep. And to me, that's a positive. There's value in that.
Right.
As you said, this is a Texas-born, New Orleans star, Southern States quarterback, correct?
Sure.
One of the greatest of all time. Hall of Famer, records.
Hey, by the way, in my opinion, I think better than Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe he is, but he's a top, whatever, 10 statistic.
Yeah.
Superstar white quarterback that is now going head-to-head with Donald Trump in an election year. Does that carry any value?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, this never happens if Drew Brees never steps in it. If he had shut the F up, as Michael Jenkins said, from the beginning and not stepped in it, and Malcolm Jenkins... It was a Michael Jenkins, too.
No, Malcolm. There was. Yeah, Ohio State.
Receiver or something?
Ohio State, yeah.
If he had never stepped in it, do we get to this point where Drew Brees, the superstar white quarterback, is calling out the president of the United States?
It's a great
point. So that's a positive, correct?
Drew Brees, with him responding, and like you said, going at the president of the United States to Donald Trump, that pretty much, I would imagine, for a lot of black people that were certainly completely turned off by his comments early in the week, I think he did close to a 180.
Correct.
There.
And
yep.
Drew Brees, as I said earlier, is a strict Christian. And that leads to some of his other issues.
Yeah.
Is Donald Trump's base filled with strict Christians, really strong, valued, Bible-toting Christians?
Huge. Huge.
So could Drew Brees, I don't know, undermine some of Donald Trump's base?
Yeah.
With things like this?
Yeah.
Maybe they're super Drew Brees fans, super Saints fans. I don't know. Or they just see the light and look at things differently because Drew Brees does. This is a major step forward, in my opinion. In my opinion. This is a... And if he hadn't stepped in it and then apologized and gone through the course of this week, we would have never gotten to that point right there where he called out the president on Instagram.
Yeah. And that's where... That, to me, was where the thing that you didn't like, the response from Booger, this, to me, was like the mea culpa. This was the one that where it was like, okay... Like, to me, the apology for the apology was just like, well, what you released a faceless statement. No, you got to, like, it didn't go over well. People are more up in arms almost about that than they were the comments you said.
But that's how it's happening. The NFL did the same thing.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell released a written statement that sucked earlier in the week.
Well,
now he's released a video, which he basically got down on his knee,
yep,
kneeled in front of the players and said, we screwed up 3 years ago, racism. So the only thing he didn't mention, the one thing that everybody notes is
Colin Kaepernick
is not included in
there.
Other than that, he sort of fell on his sword, correct?
He did. Right. But way too
so
late.
So it's a process.
But
it's a process.
Yeah.
Better late than never. Is that not a phrase? Would you prefer Roger Goodell just continue to stand up and say, we're going to, damn it, stand as a league. We're going to listen to Donald Trump. We're going to kick anybody out. What did he want? Those sons of bitches should be out of my league. Remember that whole comment?
No, get those sons of bitches off the field.
So he could go down that road, but he isn't. He's changed. Now, you could say that it is still business, and he's realized that maybe the pendulum of business and money is swinging in the other direction, where it's smart business to go down this road.
And that's
what a cynic would say.
And I think also a cynic and a realist would say it looks like Roger Goodell's pandering.
Yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
The only reason I think he's pandering is because hasn't like every company in America released a statement? Ben and Jerry's and like everybody.
Mm.
Some of those are NFL sponsors.
The New
right?
England Patriots.
No, but they're NFL teams. I'm talking about sponsors.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Money. Beers. And, you know,
pizza.
Fantasy.
Pizza.
And pizza.
Yeah, sure.
That's money. That's the NFL. That's what they're all about. Now, a cynic would say that that's all it's about. I don't know that that's what it's all about. But the point is, you've gotten to a point in the course of a week that feels better, seems better, that progress has been made.
In a league that is ruled by the owners.
In a league that is ruled by the owners.
Without black players, the NFL is nothing. There's nothing.
And Goodell said that.
Okay.
Flat out in his video.
But it didn't, again, it's fine, but it took America being on fire and doing all, and the death of another unarmed black person last week for him and the reaction.
See, I don't even think it took that. It took Drew Brees. Drew Brees ignited this. George Floyd's murder ignited the societal protest.
But that's also a
Drew
sad...
Drew Brees ignited the football.
That's part. A sad commentary on society and the NFL.
Sure.
All right, we'll get back, and we will have Roger Goodell's comments in his video. Mark and Hart, don't go anywhere.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It has been a difficult time for our country. In particular, black people in our country. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others.
All right, that was Roger Goodell. We're Mark and Hart. WEI 617-779-7937. So, you know, it feels pandering. It feels written by a press release, but he did put his name to it. He did sign off on it. He did a video about it. It's just a little bit way late on reacting. Way late. But that's the NFL right now. They're, you know, like everybody else, they're, you know, they were caught with this conflict a few years ago with the president of the United States, and they were trying to appease him, and they were and so that was the year in 2017 where the ratings went down, mm-hmm. which is really weird. So it's a lot of things. I mean, it sounded like a pandering puke there, but
he responded. See, you're I don't think
it, no,
I
it's
think
fine.
Most of it was written by the players. Most of it was written by the players. He responded to exactly, they said, this is what we want you to do, and he did it. So he deserves credit for that.
Now. Yeah, he finally did it now. Probably
see, again, done that tone is the problem. If I'm just going to not, I didn't do it 3 years ago, so it's too late, so never do it?
But
how does anything get accomplished by with that attitude?
I got it, but why did it take this long? It's just kind of like,
because sometimes it does.
Well, just like the domestic abuse thing. He was late, way late on
sure.
that one. You know?
So you'd rather if you're late, then don't worry about it.
No, forget about it. But Warren Moon was assaulting his wife in the 90s.
Okay.
Or his ex-wife now. I don't know, whatever. But like
that predates Roger Goodell. It's different leadership.
No, but there was
it's
also...
It's like the concussion thing. No, but should they never have taken...
There was also people, domestic abuse when he took over.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But your mentality is, it's too late. You didn't address it 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Why address it now? Because it's better late than never.
It is better late than never, but... It's like, here's my thing. It's about effing time. Okay?
That's fine.
Yeah.
And you can even be cynical. I'm cynical. Right. I think there's business.
Right.
I think the pendulum has shifted.
I think it's pandering.
I think 3 years ago, they made decisions based on ratings and business then. I think they're making decisions based on ratings and business now because the pendulum has swung from one side to the other. And it's smart business to do what they're doing. That's what I think they're doing. But okay, they don't have to have these perfect idealistic motives. If the end result is the result that should be, isn't that okay?
I hope so. Yes. I mean, ideally, yes. That would be the thing, but let's see what happens and if the NFL will actually be about it. It's one thing to talk about it. I believe they will be about it, but now it's like, okay, you're saying you're going to be about it. Fine. I would imagine, you know who's probably most cynical about Roger Goodell's video last night? Most black players.
Sure.
Okay.
And they have every right.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying.
I'd also be more cynical about him necessarily than maybe Drew Brees. I've been in a locker room with Drew Brees. I've spent significant time.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell walks around every once in a while, meets us, shakes our hand, and moves on.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Drew Brees is much more sincere and not disingenuous the way that Roger Goodell is just, he's a walking suit. He's an mm-hmm. he's a suit. Let's go to Neil's up next in Boston. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's going on? Let me turn my speaker off so it can be a little clearer.
You got it.
Yeah, I just want to thank you guys. Like, no matter what topic goes on in this world, it could be like the COVID, it could be about an NFL player. I be like losing my mind at like the stuff I see like on the news. And you guys, like, when I hear whatever you guys say,
by the way, with Neil, before you make that point, just do me a favor, just like, because you're coming in and out, so just speak a little like into the phone because I don't want to miss what you're saying here. So go start, do it again. He's still there?
And we cut the guy off who was giving us a nice compliment.
I didn't cut him off. He didn't answer. So.
Yeah.
Neil, call back.
Feel call back.
Neil, no. just wanted to Please thank us that we're doing a good job.
Yeah, no, Neil, I would appreciate that. Neil, I was just, he was coming in and out. It was like,
I say it 1,000 times, whether it's coronavirus and some administrator from a hospital wants to set us straight. Didn't really work out for her, but still, the intent was to set us straight. If you think we're jackasses, set us straight. If you agree with us, call and agree with us. We want both sides of the discussion. I do, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm happy to be Drew Brees. I may step in it sometime between 10 and 1 o'clock, and somebody may call in and say, that was a dumbass thing to say. And if you convince me, I'll say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Or I look at it differently. Or I apologize for my ignorance. Because I'm ignorant. You're ignorant, too. Right?
We all are.
We're all ignorant in our own ways.
Yep.
And I continue to say we personalize it. Now, we have experiences that may benefit us in this discussion, but it is a discussion. It is a discussion, and a discussion is a two-way street. You can be right. You can be wrong. I just saw one of the players tweet out, 6 + 3 = 9, correct?
Yeah.
5 + 4 = 9. There are different ways to get to 9, and we can see different ways. If I tell you, you know, give me 9 as an addition problem, you might answer something different than I. We both got to 9.
Yeah.
Right? We see it differently. We have different experiences. The first thing that jumps into our head isn't always the right thing, right?
Never.
There's usually no right and wrong.
Most time it's not.
You know what I have the problem with? This is a very gray issue. This is a very nuanced is the word that I don't really like, that people like to use, whatever the word is. The problem is when you take that approach. Have you ever heard of new math?
By the way, thank you, Evan Drellick. That was his favorite word. Oh, God.
Nauseating.
Nuanced. Nuanced. Oh, my God. It's such a hipster way to, like, look. Oh, my thank God. You. I can't stand
Johnny
that.
Anderson would fall under that umbrella as
well. Oh, my God. Johnny. Double A, awkward Anderson.
So,
yes.
But have you ever heard of new math? This idea of new math where people say, there was a whole educational mindset that if you say 3 + 2 = 6 and have a logical explanation of how you got to that answer, there's value in that. I say that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard because 3 + 2 = 5. Yeah, there's no other answer.
Let's not reinvent the wheel here, right?
So math-wise, there's an answer. Race relations-wise and all this, there's a lot that goes. The answer is we should all be idealistic and everybody should look at everybody as equals and we can get to that someday. We're not getting to that today, are we? Between 9 and 1 on Mark and Hart. But we can take a step in that direction.
Yeah, we can.
We can take calls on both sides. We can take calls on different personalized views and try to educate each other, educate listeners, listen, and talk.
Yeah, and Neil in Boston, feel free. You'll get a fast pass. We'll get you right back in if you can call back in. 617-779-7937, hour 2, next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.